Radhika Sharma wandered into architecture by chance. Her father, a doctor, saw that she loved sketching and decided that architecture would be the right career for her, not mathematics, which is what she thought she would graduate in. With her husband Yogi, Deepika runs D Plus Y, a mid-sized architecture firm doing several interesting projects, big and small. She has found the career of her choice and revels in it. This is episode number 10 of My First Job, the podcast. My name is Venugopal Nair. I'm the host of this podcast and CEO of Ideascape Communications, an advertising agency into branding, creative, and design. So settle in, sit back, and enjoy the conversation. Deepika starts right away with telling us how she enjoys her work.
Oh, it's been wonderful. We're fortunate to always have some sort of projects, and we've been very fortunate. It's been interesting.
Okay.
Really fun.
You never looked at it as a risk, or is it that you both decided that you were qualified and experienced enough to take the plunge?
Absolutely. All the decisions, all the big decisions we've ever taken in our lives, starting from marriage to having kids, we never gave it too much thought. I don't think that's how the world works. We've always been like this. We just felt like it and just did it. You just have to believe in yourself. It's a cliche, but it really works.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. And unless you actually do it, it'll never happen.
So did you start off with a few projects and then decided to form the company, or was it the other way around?
Actually, Yogi was always a partner with another friend.
Okay.
And they were already operating like two different offices in the same firm. And he already had some partners, right? He already had clients. When I quit my job, I had no intentions of starting off with Yogi. I thought I'd just do some, practice independently, or maybe work from home, or take on one project at a time. I was just fed up of working in an office, and I wanted to do something on my own. But when I told Yogi about this, he was like, what's the point of running two offices from the same house? Let's just, get together and do this together. So he left his partnership and we started off together. So he already had a few clients.
Right.
He just grew from there.
Okay. So now let's go back to into rewind mode. And I think that you had decided to pursue a BSc in maths when your father stepped in and then said, why don't you do something more professional, as he saw it? And because he thought you sketched well, he thought that architecture was a good fit.
My entire family from my mom's side, they have some 300 odd doctors. They're the biggest doctor family in India. There've been articles about them. And my dad's side also, they're quite a few doctors. My parents were doctors. All my childhood, my entire childhood, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. That's all I knew. I'd never seen other people doing anything else. Everyone I knew was a doctor. All our neighbors were doctors. Everybody was a doctor. All aunts, uncles, everyone was a doctor.
Wow.
I thought I'd do to reach higher classes, and you realize it's a lot of hard work. I said, no, I'm not doing this. I can't memorize names and I can't memorize stuff like this. I'm really bad at mugging. I can't do this.
Okay.
But I did take bio in 11th and 12th. I started liking maths a lot. I started doing well in maths.
Okay.
So I thought I'll pursue maths. My dad was like really unhappy about the whole thing. He thought I had to do something very professional. I had to get into a professional course, CA, lawyer, doctor, engineer, architect. I used to sketch a lot. So I thought, she likes sketching. Maybe she can do something creative. Architecture. He saw this ad in the paper and he's like, what do you do, architect? What do you do as an architect? I said, yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I went and wrote the aptitude test, got selected, and always wanted to be an architect. Nothing, it was just an accident. This happened. Thankfully, I liked it. And I enjoy it.
What are the things you sketched?
I was not a great artist or anything. Okay, it's not. It's not like I was really talented. I just liked to sketch. So I never took any classes. I was not doing anything great, but I was always sketching. So my dad was like, "Yeah, she likes sketching."
You joined Manipal. So what was it like in those early years?
We were a small department in the engineering college in those days. Only now they have a separate group of architects. Every batch was about 20 kids. We were only 100 kids totally. And everyone knew everyone. It was great fun. Really a lot of fun. It's a very interesting course. Really good fun.
And you have a lot of friends going back to those days as well, right?
Very much in touch with all our classmates. together pretty often, and we're okay. still in touch. The best friends in those days.
So do you remember any of the things that you particularly liked about the course?
See, the initial semesters is just the basic design, right? So you're doing a lot of fun stuff. Like we used to throw, you know, you get this punching machine and you get the little dots of paper, throw them on a paper and do compositions, and we make things with matchsticks. And it was really creative and it was so much fun. It didn't feel like you were studying. It was just such a break from school. You know how schools are. You have to really slog in the last 4 years. And after that, this was like a holiday. It's such a break. I don't know how it is now. But for us, especially the first semester, was like a lot of fun. It was really good. And slowly you get, you know, start doing small projects. And that creativity, you know, that comes in. And it's really fun. I just loved it. That's what I said. I was fortunate that, you know, I just got into it and I really liked it. Like my dad had thrown me into banking or investment. I would be miserable. I'm so fortunate that I joined a course and a profession which I like.
So you're saying the first semester, they didn't get into any of the principles of architecture. They essentially explored your creativity.
Theory of architecture, some math, some English. Very simple stuff.
Okay.
They start teaching about materials and construction techniques. That comes in a little later. But first semester was just very basic stuff. It's good fun. I think it's a trick to get you interested.
Yeah. It sort of prepared you. Then it was like, I like doing this, so I'm willing to put up with all the other stuff that goes along with it.
We have friends from engineering who joined civil or mech or whatever, and they saw their friends doing this stuff. And they went and met the HOD and said, we want to be architects. And they actually wrote the architecture. They came and joined our class. They did architecture.
Okay. And then when do you actually get down to doing projects?
One of the biggest differences was that we never had computers to work on. Everything was hand-drawn, hand-drafted. I feel that the sense of scale and proportion that gives you is missing when you do stuff on the computer, because, you know, a line is a line, and it could be 1 meter, it could be 100 meters, right, on a screen. Right. So that sense of proportion and scale that comes in when you do everything by hand, because you have to convert on a scale, and then you have to scale it, and draw every small line. That's missing now. It's so easy to do stuff on the computer.
Okay.
So it takes a little bit of time when they come for internship, get used to that scale, you know, in your head. What does this mean? How much does it really feel like? You know, how much is that space, that sense of 3D that comes in? It takes them a little bit of time to realize that.
You know, the thing between designing on a sheet of paper in 2D and then doing it in 3D, understanding space is a very different dimension, because you can create something, perspective and all those things, but to create something on a sheet of paper that will ultimately be built in the real world requires an understanding of space and structure, which may not be apparent to begin with.
There are two types of people, right? There are some who are born with that, they're talented enough, or they're born with that sense of imagination and space. They can actually imagine the space without actually doing a course in architecture, for example. And they come in and they just pick on, like Yogi is like that. He could immediately get into it. For me, it took time.
Okay.
I didn't come from that background at all. And maybe I'm not as imaginative. I don't know. But it took a little time for me to actually start imagining the space completely. Maybe a semester, 3 semesters. That's when I actually started understanding buildings and space. It just takes practice. It grows when you actually start building those lines which you've drawn on paper. So after you graduate and you join somewhere, or even during internship, make some drawings and then you go to site and then you actually see those things come up, and it's so satisfying. But that's actually when you really, really develop your sense of space, and that's when you can really imagine. So now when we draw something, we're immediately able to imagine in our heads itself, right, how this space will look. We draw a plan and we can walk through the building. So I feel the course basically prepares you for these kind of things, so that your thoughts get aligned to that line of thought, right? Thoughts, I'm not making sense, but start thinking about space, start thinking 3D. More than that, I don't think the course is good for anything. It's just 5 years of foundation. It just, you're not fit to start working or start building anything when you graduate. You're not fit to be an architect per se. You still do it. It takes you a few more years to actually start doing it. But that course is important because otherwise you're just fresh from school and you have no idea at all. So that just prepares you to start thinking like an architect. It prepares you to start understanding those drawings and spaces and stuff.
When it comes to the human anatomy, things like the eyes and ears and nose and feet and all that become important. From an architectural perspective, are there things that you need to look at? I mean, there would be. I don't know, which is why I'm asking.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right from height of a table or a chair to kitchen counters to where the wash basin sits, everything, even the scale of the space, is basically related to human scale. Everything is related to human scale. We even taught in college, stuff like that, theory of marketing. Everything is related to humans. Finally, it's humans who are going to use those spaces.
Right.
How it relates to, you can't do a house where your room is 3 floors high. You can't have a 10 by 10 room which is 50 feet high. You can't live in that room. There's a sense of scale, right? Everything is related to humans.
Yeah. So at times I'm sure you come across people who may not have that sense of scale, but believe in grandeur. So does it ever come to that? Or
All kinds of clients. So all kinds of people. Grandeur doesn't mean you do things out of scale. So basically, if somebody wants a really huge space and that sense of grandeur, then you need to have those kind of dimensions and space in terms of 2D also. Your width and your length has to be so big to get that kind of height and then to create that kind of big space. You can do it in a tiny little space and just increase the height and say, okay, yeah, done. Clients do come with all kinds of ideas in their head. Some are good, some are not so good, and then we have to educate them. That's our job.
So you finish your course at Manipal, and then what happens?
Then I go back to Delhi. So I had done internship in one small tiny firm. There was one draftsman there who became a good friend. He was working in another company when I graduated. He said, why don't you come and see what these guys are doing and see if you like it and you can apply. So I went there and I saw the kind of work they were doing. I met the principal architect and I said, sure, join. I joined and started working there. And it was good. It was very, very good.
You remember some of the early assignments and what you dug into what you...
I was doing really big projects. I was working on a big complex which had commercial space, it had a shopping center, the lower levels, double basement parking. It was a huge complex and it had row houses, but it didn't even start. So I never saw it actually happen. By the time I left the job, hadn't even started, so I never went to site for that job. That 1 year, I never visited any site. I was just in the office. Good. Learned a lot.
And then, what is the next thing? So you got a fairly good grounding of what it means to at least imagine large projects and what was involved in getting the response.
There are so many parameters which go into planning, right? It's not just, you can't just do whatever you like. Client's brief, there's the site, there's the bylaws, so many things are happening. You learn all that.
And then what is the part of a project that you are excited about doing? You know, there are parts of a project where some part of it, it's a job, it has to be done. There are others which you say, wow, I mean, I could do this the whole day.
Yes, so best part for any architect is the initial designing. You ask any architect, that's their favorite part. Obviously, it's like anybody can guess that. So nothing like designing new building or especially buildings, not even empty. That's the best part. It gets you so excited and interesting. Sometimes we don't want to leave office to be working. And say, oh, it's late, let's go. But and after that, even developing it, like once it's finalized, you start working on the details for it. You develop it, you fine tune it. I love that part. I really love it. It's so interesting to work up little details.
So, especially, like you said, there are bylaws and there are the space that you actually have. So when you go to a space, when you're briefed on a particular building which has to come up, you take a look at the space and based on the utility, do some designs begin to suggest themselves or you let it marinate for a couple of days and then say, okay, let me do some rough concepts before I begin to dig my teeth into it?
It works both ways. Some projects, when you look at the site itself and just instantly know what you want to do, what will work, like site itself will inspire you, right? And sometimes it's a very mechanical thing. Like, you know, it's a small plot, you believe this much, guy wants to follow Vasu, kitchen has to come here. And you have very little space to play around with and to do something interesting, right? Yeah. Sometimes when you look at the site and you say, wow, this is what I'm going to do. Works both ways.
What about these industrial architecture where you have to design manufacturing companies or factories, at least the shell? That's a different feel altogether.
But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's all Yogi's department.
Okay, so he thinks about how that whole thing should be.
Very, very good at it.
Yeah. Architecture. So what is your strength develop, you know, more expertise in over time? So
I think I'm very thorough.
Okay.
I really like everything detailed and perfect at drawing stage itself. So from our office, no drawing leaves the office without me checking it.
Okay.
See, you might just draw a line, but finally it becomes a building and some weird wall will come up and we go to site and say, what is this? And they show us the drawing. I feel very embarrassed.
Okay.
Don't let it happen at all. So I think my strength is that I'm able to do this. A lot of architects hate doing this job.
Yeah.
We know every corner of our project. We know every project we're doing. We know every corner of that building. That's the reason we don't want to make an effort to become too big. We don't join any clubs. We don't try to increase our network. We're happy. We're content because we're able to manage these projects. Some of them are quite big, but we know every corner of every project. I think that is our strength.
Okay. I can certainly vouch for that detail orientation, Deepika, because I remember when you came to our place and you took a look at the half-finished house and you asked us to move an entire door by about 6 inches or 1 foot in the kitchen. And your point was that if the door was too close to the wall, then all the fridge and everything else would be protruding into that space, which we would never have thought of. I mean, I think, and for us, it was an education that something as simple as moving a door by a few inches or by a foot can make such a big difference too. So everything, like you said, the placement of the switches, what works where.
Absolutely.
So these are things that most people just think, okay, it's a, you know, elevation inside this thing and it's done. It's not. Like you said, it's a line, but that line will be translated into something major on the
layouts, the toilet details, very, very important to detail it out.
Okay.
Where each switch is, what it controls, what comes on your bedside. Like you said, it's so important. We know exactly what's happening in that project.
So this is like getting refined as you work. Which is the next place you joined?
I did a computer course while I was doing that first job. Computers were still relatively new. AutoCAD was a new thing. I was very excited about it. So Yogi had done a course and I went, after he finished, I went and joined that architect. I said, I also want to learn. I learned AutoCAD. And then I was so keen because I didn't have a computer at home. It used to be like so expensive. We couldn't afford it.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to join an office where I can work on a newly acquired skill. Right. So you want to practice it. And my first office, it was not possible. So I had to quit the job. And I joined another office. They actually wanted an architect on the only one of the two computers that they had. One was for admin work and one was for architecture. And was a slightly bigger office, well-known architect. They wanted somebody on the computer, an architect on it. And I worked there on the computer for a year.
Okay. And was that process different? You found it very different from sketching by hand, obviously, but what changed as far as you were concerned?
It still happens. Sketching by hand happens even today. Basic first lines are always on paper.
Okay.
Brain thinks better when it comes from the hand. No? It just doesn't come on the screen directly. A little bit has to be sketched. So, even there, a lot of basic design was done by hand, and then it was put into the computer. So, what was different was the way buildings were done altogether, because it was from one architect to the next. Their way of looking at things, their whole process of design itself, that was a good experience.
Right. So, having been in architecture for so long, Deepika. Do you think that this is a profession where women get the credit they deserve?
Any profession, it is always tougher for women. In any profession. I don't think architecture is any good. Okay. As long as you're in the office environment, there's no difference. When you go out and you go to sites and you have to go shout at contractors because they're making mistakes or they're not listening. Some of them will just, you know, if you're too soft or too nice, they'll just ignore you. They won't even look at you. You have to be tough to talk to them on a tough tone. You have to put on this act that you're a really tough woman. No fooling around. Better listen to me. You know? It is tougher because sometimes guys don't like it when women are, you know, scolding them or asking them to do stuff. You know, that male ego comes in. And they don't like it. It's contractors or vendors or whatever. It can be nice.
Even when they know they've been wrong. Even when they know they're wrong, or particularly when they're wrong.
See, we all justify our mistakes to ourselves, right? Or you sleep at night. So they also feel, no, no, I did this. This is the only way to do it. This is why they justify it to themselves. But this is not what's in our drawing. This is not what we wanted. So as long as everything is okay, it'll be nice. But as soon as you have to actually point it out to them or really get it done or get them to be serious about it, you have to toughen up. Just tough. It's easier for guys. Guy who's an architect goes to site, it's easier for him to get people to listen to him than it is for home.
Sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that is quite deep-rooted, right? It's not something that you have, or is
it? It has already changed in all the years that I've been an architect. It's changing, so it's a positive.
So, shepherding a project through all its stages, which would you say is among the most difficult and or... Is there something like that?
No, there is no difficult project. There are difficult clients, sure.
Okay.
Projects are not difficult. Projects are, in fact, more variation there is in the kind of work you're doing, more interesting it is. If you do different kinds of projects, it's more interesting for us. It's more challenging. We have more fun. Projects are not difficult.
So is it a lack of understanding on the client's part, or is it simply that they want their way?
There are different kinds of clients. So some are like, we don't know anything, we'll listen to you, whatever you say. They place their trust in your hands. And they don't know anything, and they don't want to. And they say, yeah, we don't know anything, you do it. Then there are those, the other extreme, think they know everything. And it's the ones who are somewhere in between who are the perfect clients.
Okay.
Who are aware of, you know, who are educated enough, aware enough, exposed enough to these. They have some sense of what's going on. And they have a say in it, have some idea of what they really want, they're the best types. Because they'll also be really involved with the project. They'll keep challenging you, right? They're the best types.
Is there a fair amount of selling involved on the design aspect? Now, when you present that design to the client, they obviously have a mind, in their mind, what the building should be like.
Not always. They don't.
Okay.
Not always. Some of them sometimes have some idea. Some of them come with some preconceived notions, but a lot of them don't know. Sometimes they're not able to even give us the exact brief. A lot of things they're not able to explain to us properly before we start designing. So then what happens is when we present the first scheme, that's when they realize, no, we didn't want it like this. We wanted it like that, right? So it's also a first draft is always, we always tell them it's, This is what will really make us understand your input and your revert on this. How we'll really understand what you want, not from the brief you gave us. So sometimes it takes us a few sittings and a few schemes and revisions to actually totally understand their requirement. But some of them are very clear from day one.
You know, I'm surprised at the kind of overlap in terms of the creative fields when it comes to advertising and architecture. It's 2D versus 3D. The first presentation that you make to the client is when you understand what they're looking for in terms of what that brand is. Yeah. They might not know what it looks like or the, you know, but the creative and the communication.
No more. We didn't want this. That they know.
Yeah. It gives them it clarity once you present something that they can react and respond to, because then it becomes easier for them. What takes the longest? Would you break up a project into stages, and if so, what are the stages?
See, first stage is the design stage itself, which can take any amount of time, right? Starting from us designing it, some projects, some buildings we are able to crack very quickly. And some just take so long, and we can't promise our client how long it's going to take. So we say, okay, give us 2 weeks. But sometimes at the end of 2 weeks, we've just not cracked it, right? So sometimes it might take a month for our first scheme itself, for the first draft itself. And then it depends on the client. How many times do you keep revising it? So we've done a project where we did 27 revisions. That was the max. Normally, second, third, fourth. Depends on the client. So that part takes a certain amount of time, which cannot be quantified. You cannot say, no, in 3 months we'll be done, or in 1 month we'll be done. We don't know. Can't say. And then the actual, then many places, approvals, right? Sanctions from the local body. That takes a certain amount of time. That also depends on the building type. It takes anything from 3 months to 1 year, right? Once that is done, we start the construction. So the superstructure takes the shortest amount of time. That's like super fast. Tack, 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 it's over. And then the clients feel, oh, now it's ready. And now we can, you know, start operating from here, or we can move in, or whatever the building type may be. And, but it doesn't work like that. Finishing is what really takes us. Do it well.
Is it because there are a number of layers which people just don't understand the amount of complexity that is there in finishing a project? Or
yeah, they don't know. Because... They're fine.
Yeah.
See, there are people who have done projects before, like if it's a factory, then those guys have done factories before. If it's a builder, he's done builder projects, apartments, commercial. If it's a school, that guy might be doing school plans like that. So they have some idea and they have some control over, they already have teams in place who can just do it very quickly, finishes are sorted out, and they have, everything happens fast. But when it comes to houses, then most of the people build only one house in a lifetime. Yeah. That's their first, last experience.
You're right.
So they have no idea. They're not supposed to. They're not architects. They don't know.
Yeah, but
sometimes they're impatient. They go, they're like, oh, it's been so long, and you still don't move in, because the superstructure got over like 3 months back. You still know in your completion.
So where do you think your skill really changes with experience? What kind of skills? One is client handling skills, of course, get to be much better. But are there other aspects of the job that you think improve time?
Every single skill, even designing skill. So we look back 20 years ago, what we were doing. I don't think we like those designers anymore. I think we keep improving with time. Everything, whether it's designing, whether it's detailing, whether it's client handling, even site supervisions, just keep getting better. Go to site and we immediately see problems. Right? Go see any building, we see problems. Our eyes get trained to see problems. Every single thing.
Just take me through one of those. Let's say anything that you remember, Deepika. You go to a site and then you see that there is a problem that either the contractor or the person has not noticed. What exactly has, let's say, the contractor or has not, or the vendor has not noticed? But in your mind, how do you flag off a problem? What are you seeing?
See, when we've made the drawings and we've done the designing, you already know how the building is going to look. Like I told you, you know, every corner of our building, even before construction starts, you know exactly how it's going to look. And we have some vision in mind, right? And we go there and we look at it and we immediately know it's wrong. This is not what we did. This is not our design. And this is not what we wanted. This is not the original drawing. We point it out. And sometimes they've not understood the drawing. Sometimes they've not seen the drawing properly. It depends on skills of the contractor and the supervisor also. Drawing reading skills. It's not always good. Sometimes it's terrible. So that's where supervision comes in. We have to keep on going to sites and we have to keep checking. Because otherwise, it'll never work out. We all wrong. So we go and we check, and sometimes we go, sometimes junior architects go, sometimes our engineer will go for the structural part. For different aspects, different people will visit, but we keep going. Unless we do that, they'll do something wrong and we won't like it. It's our building, it's our baby.
So before you started D plus Y, the most time you had spent was at another place. What is the career trajectory after the first couple of places that you worked in?
When I finished my second job, the one on the computer, I quit there to get married while we were still in Delhi. And after that, I joined my father-in-law's firm in Delhi. So, and I worked there part-time till I had a baby. And then I took a long break. We moved to Chennai during that break. And then Yogi was with another partner. I used to go to their office just because I needed to get out of the house. We would go to school and I'd go to office. They sit there and do some work, something. I'd say, okay, I'll do this. Let me do something.
Okay.
I needed to. We didn't have phones. We just moved in. Even landline was not there. We didn't have mobiles. There was nobody to talk to. I needed adult conversation. I can't be with a baby the whole day. So
yeah.
I used to just go spend 4 hours there, 3 hours there. Just part-time,
yeah.
non-paying
yeah.
job. And after some time, then I had one more period. I said, no, enough is enough. Stick up sitting at home. Let me start working. Joined when someone was like 1.5 years old. 15 months, I'm in a crèche for a few hours a day. I started working. No, 2 years old. It's 2 years old.
Okay.
I joined a firm called Oedipus in Chennai. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I learned. I've been lucky all my life. I walked into that office to ask for a job. One of our seniors had put me onto that office. We had moved to Adyar. And I didn't want to go very far because I had two small kids. I wanted to be there in case of any emergency, any problem. I wanted to be close. And the senior of ours from college, he said, I know this architect. He's really good. Why don't we go and meet him? I called him up and said, I'm sending him. There. I walked into that office and Pramod, who's the principal architect, tells me just 2 days back my architect quit. He had only one architect in those days.
Perfect.
Rest were all prospect. So when can you join? And that was my interview. Just pure luck. It's nothing else.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, I just got the job just like that.
It's luck, yes, Deepika, but I think there is also a background of a network of people who trust each other. And okay, the fact that you have access to that network is a part of the luck. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It also means that you're able to get through something which, if they don't have any idea of your background at all, then obviously there's a lot more involved in trying to figure out, okay, does this person fit the bill? You know, all of those things. Which brings me to what you probably... No, what you probably wrestle with, how do you get people from the current generation? And what is the difference that you notice today?
It's so difficult to get people. So
okay.
difficult. Especially all the kids coming out. There are so many architecture colleges. First of all of them don't continue in architecture. A lot of the kids go join IT companies, get trained for 6 months, and they become IT professionals. Or they join some outsourcing companies like L&T and stuff. Because the initial salary is double of what any architect would do. They're just going there and doing drafting job. They're not really architects. But some people who come from poorer backgrounds are looking at that salary and not looking at long-term career path. Pool is not so big anymore. Although there are so many architecture colleges and so many students are graduating. Then, of course, a lot of them go for higher studies. A lot of them want to work in Bombay or Delhi or Bangalore. Bangalore is a big thing. A lot of them want to work for big architects, big names, well-known architects, right? So finally, what's left in Chennai is it's a really small pool. And even there, they want to work for the bigger architects. So, you know, medium-sized firms like us or small firms like us, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Once we get, sometimes we don't want to take. It's very difficult. So now we've just been doing it with recommendations of our existing staff from their network. They find a senior or a junior or somebody knows somebody and they get something. That's the only way.
Yeah. That cuts through the entire process rather than trying to figure out if the person is good enough. And what is the difference that you've noticed? They get into IT companies and is it because salary or is it because they've never really understood what this whole business is about during the course? It's very hard to answer that question. They haven't built a sort of liking for the subject that they've spent 5 years doing.
All starts from the admission itself. There are a lot of kids who don't get into engineering in a good college on merit, right? On government quota, right? And then they write the exam, architecture, and they get it. I'm not saying all kids are like that. Most of them are good and they want to do architecture. But
so a lack of direction and a lack of clarity, where would you put your finger?
I think it's not neither. I think it's just immediate gains. They're not thinking long-term. They have no long-term plans. They're just looking at my next salary. You know, when I started working, I didn't even ask my employer how much they pay me. Maybe because, you know, we privileged and it didn't matter.
Okay.
We provided for. Never bothered about money. Didn't even ask my first job second job in Pramod. After 1 month, Pramod asked me, how much do you want per month? I said, look, I have two small kids. They come home at 4 o'clock. I can work only till 4.
Okay.
He said, okay, how much do you want per month? I don't know. Why don't you decide after 1 month? $500. Not that he didn't need money. Okay.
Yeah, what they know today is how much money they want to earn, but they're not very sure about what they will bring to the table. Is that one of the issues?
I think it's also peer pressure now, because when we were younger, we didn't know how much our friends were earning. Nobody asked. It was not polite to talk about money. Maybe we were brought up like that. You don't discuss money.
Yeah.
You don't ask people how much they earn. You don't do that. You still don't do it. So it was never discussed, and it didn't matter how much money anybody had. And so our salaries were never discussed amongst friends. So it didn't matter. Now, with all the social media and all this and all, maybe they, I don't know how it works. I'm just guessing that maybe there is that pressure that your classmate is earning this much, that one is making somewhere there. Maybe. I don't know.
You've never believed in social media or really?
No, Facebook. Now we have an Insta page for our company. Earlier, we didn't even have that. We don't even have a website. It's just terrible. It's lazy. No Twitter, nothing.
No, but
WhatsApp is a new tool to manage sites. It's a very useful tool. So all our contractors, everybody has WhatsApp, and we're able to monitor even outstation sites. You can actually manage them pretty well through the WhatsApp.
But is it a pain monitoring or going through so many WhatsApp groups?
Every project has one or two WhatsApp groups. Every project.
Okay.
Whatever comments or pictures of the site or whatever they need, or whatever chat, whatever decision, everything is put on the WhatsApp.
And that works fine.
It works very well. Because everybody is on the same page, right? The client knows what's going on, contractor knows what's going on, we know what's going on. In our office itself, the architect, the engineer, everybody knows what's going on in the project. It's a good thing. Works very well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like for that particular project, everyone involved is literally being brought up to date based on whatever messages are being sent. But this has happened over the last, 3-4 years? Or what was it like before that? Was it more email and...
Maybe last 7-8 years.
Gotcha.
Before that, there was nothing happening inside WhatsApp. It was hardly in WhatsApp. 8-9 years back, that's when it really started, right? It became popular.
So it's not project management software and tracking. It's plain old messaging.
Not at all.
You get the information that you want, and when you tell a vendor or a contractor saying this has not been done, he doesn't want the client to see it, and the client will see it.
Contractor will tell the client one thing, and then he'll tell us something else. This way, everybody knows what's happening. You can't lie your way through.
Yeah, yeah. There's no fig leaf. Yeah, there's nothing that you can say, and it's all out there in the open. Oh, but this is interesting. I didn't know that this particular thing is a way of, yeah, like you said, it is used for everything. So this normally comes after the project starts. I assume that it's once the vendors on.
Vendors are not put in this.
Not vendors, the contractor. Yeah.
Contractors are there. We don't put vendors into this. They'll get a lot of information if they don't need. Yeah. Why does, you know, a window manufacturer need to know what is going on inside at foundation stage?
What about the talented kids? What have you seen about the kids who differentiate and who look at architecture as a long-term career? How do you see them doing things different?
There are different kinds of kids, right?
Right.
Everybody is not naturally talented or a natural architect.
Right.
And they pick up very fast. They're really interested. So we had one kid at Pomo's office and came for his internship. Every time I picked up my bag to go to a site, he'd be there next to me. Can I also come? Can I also come? Anybody who went to site, he'd be there. Can I come? He was so curious. You know, he wanted to know everything. He'd go to everybody's table and ask questions. What are you doing? Why is it like this? Why couldn't you do this? 100 questions. Irritating the fellow. But so good. So good. And he was so good at his work. He was so interested. He was genuinely interested. Really interested. Very, very good. So there are kids like that, but mostly it's not easy. You need a lot of confidence, you know, to be like that.
Yeah.
Everyone is not like that. You cannot be. Even if you want to ask, think 10 times, should I ask this? Will I come across this?
Yeah.
I'm knowing this already. You know, it takes a lot of confidence to actually ask so many questions, right? So some of them are quiet, learn quietly. But as long as your focus is there, and as long as you really want to learn, and as long as you're not just spending your time here and collecting a salary, it'll take a lot of time, but you will get good at it. You just need that
attitude. It seems so strange, Deepika, that ultimately those are still the sterling qualities. Curiosity, a willingness to work, a willingness to accept that you're wrong, a willingness to learn new things every day is almost standard for every career. And yet people think that there is some magic behind, you know, how can you progress in some career as if there is some shortcut.
Universal qualities to do well in life. People have been told many times, and you can read about it. You cannot learn it till you've been through it yourself.
Till you actually get into it. And
it actually pays to work hard. It actually pays to have a good attitude. It actually pays to be curious and try to learn new things, not shy away from work. If you're just coming to office just to spend time and just to show that you're working and you just collect your salary, you will never get anywhere in the long run. Right? Stagnate. People are not blind. They can see, right, what you're doing. It's not like seniors are sitting there and they can close their eyes.
And they don't know what is happening. Yeah. That's true. He was obviously soaking in every little bit of knowledge that he could. He was not waiting to be told. He was not saying that if it comes my way, okay. He's going out there and putting himself into every possible situation to learn. And
that girl, like, in our office, we had one girl in internship. She was also like that.
Okay.
As good as full-fledged architects. Her work was so good. Would try to understand everything you're telling her. She'd come and ask questions, try to apply some creativity there, try to do something even if she's not asked. Can I do it like this? But those are like rare cases. Not normally kids are not like that.
Yeah.
But as long as you have the right attitude, really want to work, you need that honesty, right? You need that, you need to be honest to your profession.
Right.
Actually want to do a good job. If you really want to do a good job, you do well in anything.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. That's all. Whatever you do, you do tiny clothes and all that. Like, you want to do a good job. You don't want to leave any wrinkles there, right? You want it to be like crisp and beautiful. It'll come out well. You'll become the nice tiny guy on the street. Anything you do, do it with sincerity. Do it best you can.
Amazing, Deepika, because we've met so many times, but I've never really delved deep into what your journey as an architect has been. And this has been fascinating at so many levels because, you know, I didn't know, for example, that you started off with maths and then got into architecture and then it kind of built from there. It's always difficult being a woman. It's not, you know, there are things, aspects of the job, the office may not be the problem, but there are a whole lot of external issues that you face, and having got through all of them and still you have to be a different person when you're dealing with people of that. How certain things about the profession never change: interest, curiosity, willing to work that extra mile, and you know, go all the way to ensure that, you know, whatever you're building, whether it's a house for a customer or is there one thing is, you know, these multi-storied apartments have become among the most common. Does that give architects far lesser room to do something, or do you feel that that is something in which you can do a fair amount of work of innovation?
Do wonders. I think it's lovely. You can do a really good job.
Okay.
As long as you don't just treat it like some way of earning some money, you actually want to do a good job. Like I said, you just take it as a challenge. Just try and do a good job and come up with it.
Okay. If it's a you know, let's say 16 blocks, 4 homes on every floor. You're saying even within that, there's a whole lot of things you can do, which will be very interesting.
A whole lot of things. Okay. Absolutely. Chennai is a tough market. You know, builders come to you, and in other cities, you can just do one apartment and you can just mirror it and repeat it and your job is done and it's over. Here, every apartment has to follow our school.
Okay.
You believe it? Yeah. We have builders who come and say every apartment should be as per
Vastu. Makes it easier for them to sell, yeah. And that is one of the things their customers demand.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult to design.
And sometimes those are even bigger because these are divine laws, not like the company or the bylaws that are. Wonderful. Deepika, thank you again for accepting this. And it's been a real pleasure. Wonderful talking to you. Thanks a ton.
My First Job, the podcast, is a production from Ideascape Communications. Guest relations, promotions, and creative is managed by Deepa Ravi with occasional support by Venugopal Nair. Archiving and technical help is provided by LPS Jayachandran.